A few days ago, I asked you to write down your favorite verse, favorite scripture, and I told you that we were planning on doing a little podcast type of thing, my grandson and I, and explaining the verse or spending 2 or 3, maybe 5 or 6 minutes, and we're going to put it on Facebook and various other places. I've been amazed at the responses by you, as well as various others. A grandson teaches a class in Pulaski at the church there, and last Sunday he asked them, and he brought that to me Friday. So I'm adding this. I told Cassidy, who's also contributed many of the verses, I'm thrilled with what she turned in, and I told Cassidy that I'm already up. If we just do one a week, it's going to take 4 or 5 years in order to get through them all. But it's really been amazing what some of you picked as your favorite verse. All of these are Old Testament. Most of them focus in the New Testament, as did Cassidy's and many of you. But there's a lot of great, precious jewels of instruction that are found in God's Word, if we'll just listen. Our sermon's going to be on one of them today. Bryce read from Philippians 4 a minute ago, and the very first verse that he read was, "Rejoice in the Lord." And again, I say rejoice. Paul was in a prison cell when he wrote that. Have you thought about that? And likely the conditions that prevailed there? Jail cells today and prison cells today, not like it was then. I've read some historians' statements about the horrific conditions. The rats that would oftentimes chew on them at nighttime when they try to sleep. The diseases that were caught that also often took their life. And yet Paul, the optimist, the positive, the one that said, "I can do all things through Christ," Rob Bryce read that in verse 13. How Paul said, "I know in whom I believed, and he's able to do all those things that even I can ask or think." Paul said, "Christ who is my life." Paul said, I glory only in Christ and am crucified. And Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord." We must focus on the positive things. Oh, no, wait a minute. I know. Wait a minute, Paul. I mean, do you know the world in which we live? I sure do. And I know that things are not always good and not always great and things go wrong. And I can tell you about mine. You can tell me about your problems and on we could go. But God loves us. Christ died for us. We've been invited to live with Him forever in heaven, and He's made that possible if we'll just do it, abide by His instruction. Now, compared to those four things, what else matters? You say, "Well, I'm going to die soon." We all are, like it or not. One day, every one of us, this world is not our home. But look at what we've got to look forward to. Well, you know the aches and the pains. I know that too. All of us do. But if we can merely focus on the joy that we have in Christ, the other things fade away. I want to look at it through 3 points. The Christian joy is possible First, because of our past. Second, because of our present. And third, because of our future. First, our past. This book tells us about Christ. In the Old Testament as well as the New, the Old Testament says he's the Messiah. He's going to come one time. He's going to be born in Bethlehem, and he's going to be the Redeemer. Oh, but I can read about it in the New Testament too, and how they rejoiced about Christ. Listen to it. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, Luke was a physician. And Luke made this statement, and the angel said unto him, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Even in the announcement, as it were, we read about great joy, which shall be to all people, Luke said in Luke 2 and verse 10. But Luke would also go further. In chapter 18 and verse 37 and 38, he said, "And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen." They didn't stop there. As they continued, "with a loud voice for the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." They rejoiced. But then in chapter 24 of that same book, in verse 52, we read, "And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy." I find it pretty interesting that concerning Jesus Christ, they rejoiced. And what they emphasized then, we can likewise today. They had a Savior who cared about them, who loved them, who was willing to make salvation available to them, and we do too. Oh, regarding salvation, let's look at that for a minute. The word repentance comes to my mind. And back to Luke chapter 15 this time. In Luke 15 and verse 7, he says, "And I say unto you that likewise joy," there's that word again, "joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than 99 just persons which need no repentance." Isn't that interesting? Even the angels in heaven rejoice with one person, just one, not the 99, that's good too. Each one is representative of a soul that's worth more than the whole world, but even joy in heaven because one repents. Repentance is that key that leads to salvation. In verse 10 of Luke chapter 15, he says, "Likewise I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner." Again, he says it again. Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 9, "Now I rejoice not that you were made sorrow, but that you sorrowed to repentance." Joy and rejoicing, rejoicing in the Lord. Why? Because of Christ, because of repentance. And I would even more broadly say because of salvation. Listen to another place in Luke chapter 10 this time when he said in verse 20, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." You talk about things for which we have reason to rejoice. Count our blessings, name them one by one. I mean, we sing that song sometime. It's a beautiful hymn. But salvation, having been saved, having our sins washed away at that time, maybe it was a few months ago, maybe it's several years ago that you obeyed the gospel, But you remember that Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 9 and how that Philip came to him, taught him the way of the Lord. And he said, see, here is water. What doth anybody be baptized? They stopped the chariot that went down in the water, came up out of the water. And what does that say about the eunuch? He went on his way rejoicing. I dare say that you, like me, can remember a time, maybe in a baptistry, maybe it was a creek, a river, pond, pool, whatever, I don't care, water. In John chapter 3, we're told that John baptized near to Enon, near to Salem, because there was much water, just wherever there's water. But I dare say that you can remember coming up out of that water. And many of us, it was amazing the burden that had been lifted. We knew that God's promise was every sin, mistake, mess up we'd ever committed, as far as God was concerned, had just been blotted out and forgiven. In Romans chapter 5, Paul would say, we rejoice also in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Those Roman Christians rejoiced. Their past was gone. So the Christian joy is possible because our sins, whatever we've done, however awful we've been, or maybe it wasn't hardly all, but anything that we did that was a mistake, a sin, is washed away. But the Christian joy is also possible because of the present. I have it. Probably you have it. This great book of God, the truth. In Matthew chapter 13, another account of the gospel record, in Matthew 13 and verse 44, we read, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field, and which when a man hath found it, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. For the joy thereof. If I were to ask you what chapter in this whole New Testament is known as the love chapter, I think you would know that it would be 1 Corinthians 13. And in that 13th chapter, 13 verses in that chapter, it says, love rejoices in the truth. I rejoice in knowing it. I rejoice in having it. I rejoice in knowing that it's that which is going to judge me at the end of time. I know that it is the body of truth and that can guide me to heaven. In 3 John, verse 4, he made the statement, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. We can walk presently in that truth. Here it is. All I've got to do is read it, absorb it, understand it. Ephesians 3, verse 4 says, when you read, you can't understand. Oh, I'm to search the scriptures, Acts 17. I'm to make sure and study to be approved of God, 2 Timothy 2:15. But I have the truth, and I can rejoice today. But then there's another word I want to accentuate presently. I can have Christian joy in the present, even with persecution. I said that one time in a Bible class. Somebody said, do what? What do you mean, Paul? I can rejoice when I'm persecuted? They went on to have to say, yeah. In Matthew 5, part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, For so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. Was it maybe the Lord's way of saying, we're not so different? The ones that's been before us, they really went through a lot of persecution and trials too. You go ahead and rejoice and be happy that you're in Christ, saved on the way to heaven, and whatever the, muddles the water at this time, it's okay. You can get to the other side. 1 Peter 2:11 says, this world is not our home. We're just pilgrims and sojourners traveling there. Go with me in your mind in a moment, for a moment, in Matthew, in Acts chapter 5. Remember when, now this, the church had already been established in Acts chapter 2. The disciples were being persecuted. I mean, they were being beaten. Acts chapter 5 tells about they were brought before the law of the land, and they were beaten and told, don't you teach about this Christ anymore. Verse 41 says, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. It says, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. These early Christians were happy. Oh, the licks, the rods, the beating that they had just received, that hurt. But they knew that they had done nothing wrong. They knew that it was because they were believers in Christ. They knew that they were suffering shame for his name. And parallel to that, James chapter 1 and verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into temptations. Rejoice and be glad. Presently, as you walk in the truth, as you have the Word of God to guide you, and you're doing what the Lord wants you to do and be what you want, He wants you to be. But there's another key word as we walk in this Christian life. Presently, we have Christian joy from the past and from the present. Present, it's from our fellowship. I'm not in this alone. Bell, Donald, on up in years. But they would tell you, no doubt, how Julia, I don't want to leave you out either, all of those that are maybe above, on upper years, I put myself in there too. We would talk about those that have helped us, a spouse that has walked with us, preachers and teachers that have taught us, friends that have been there when we've gone through troublesome times. Paul would say it this way in Romans 15, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may with you be refreshed. Our friends and family refreshes us, helps us. In 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 13, Paul would say, therefore, we're comforted in your comfort. Yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because, here was Titus, a co-worker, a co-laborer, one that he loved, a young man, because his spirit refreshed, was refreshed by you all. Paul was thanking them, the Corinthians, because they had loved Titus and refreshed him. Christian joy, past, present. Now let's look at the future. We can have joy because of the future. My Lord's words in John chapter 15 and verse 11, he said, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be full. He doesn't want us moping around, woe, gloom, and despair, and agony on me. If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck. And I remember the hee-haw song of years past. He doesn't want us like that. He wants us to be thankful. that your joy may be full, he said in John 16. In 1 John 1 and verse 4, he said, and these things write I unto you that your joy may be full. And thus, that's why Paul in Philippians 4, verse 4, as we read in the very beginning, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. You can have a full joy. But simultaneously, there's another word that brings that joy in the future. And that word is hope. I guess I should have tried to look it up on Google or in a concordance and be able to tell you the word hope is found so many times in the Bible. I didn't. But I do have before me some passages. In John chapter 4 and verse 36, Jesus talking, John recording, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Just in a conversation of Jesus during the time he was here on earth, telling about life eternal. But Paul to the Philippi church would say in Philippians 2 and verse 16, holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ and that I've not run in vain or labored in vain. In other words, for all that I've done in serving God, I don't want it to be worthless, but instead that I may rejoice in that day. In John chapter 16, again, John records the words of Christ when he said in verse 22, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I'll see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Our past can be gone. Our present, we can survive. We can do good. We can live for Christ. We can glorify Him. In Matthew 5 and verse 16, Jesus would say, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Which brings us then to the future. James would say in James chapter 4, our life is a vapor. It appeareth for a short time, then it vanisheth away. This book tells me, I must prepare in this brief life for that eternal home, that eternal existence. But even while I'm here, I can look back and be thankful. I can take present and be thankful. And I can look to the future and be thankful and rejoice and be happy. Let's pray. Holy God in heaven, we rejoice in the truth, your word, your love, its greatness, your gift of your Son, unequaled. How magnificent. But for our good, that we can hear your truth, submit to it, live by it, and one day receive eternal life. Father, if there are those that are here that are not Christians, please may this be the day. If there are those that have obeyed in the past but not living as they should, we pray they'll come home. And we want so much to be your instrument to help them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Truly, if we can assist you in any way, come as we stand and sing.